Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies, love and compassion toward us. Thank you for your help that you have released into our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for giving us peace and joy and rest. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for making difficult things easy for us. Thank you for making impossible things possible unto us. Thank you for destroying the works of the devil that were formed against us. Thank you, Lord, for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for every door you have opened unto us so that we can move forward. Thank you for the revelations of your truth and the revelations of your word that you have exposed to us personally and as a group. Thank you, Lord. We also thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us that is helping us to grow mature spiritually. Thank you for everything your Holy Spirit is doing in us to draw us closer unto yourself and to make us to know you more and more. Thank you, Father. Be thou exalted forever in Jesus' name. We are here once again to learn of you, to learn from you, to understand your scriptures. We are here to discuss your word together in your presence. I ask that you speak to us even as we listen to this teaching. Speak to every one of us, both the speaker and the hearer. Speak to us expressly by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And as we hear your word, help us to obey in Jesus' name. Help us to do everything your word have commanded and instructing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome all of you to the Lord's presence. We have been teaching on backsliding for some weeks now, and we still have a lot to talk about. So we're going to continue from where we stopped. The last teaching was refusing to receive correction. Yeah. which is one of the signs of backsliding, or signs of losing faith. Now we want to look at not confessing problems and things. Not confessing problems and things. Yeah. You may think that is not an issue. Yeah, but it is. Yeah, if you refuse to confess your problems and your sins, both before God and before those that are strong in the spirit, yeah, it's a sign of backsliding. Yeah, it is not everything going on in your life that you have to keep to yourself. Yeah, there are times that you have to speak out, and that is how you will be healed, and that is how you will be revived. And you'll be restored. Yeah, but if you refuse to confess things that are going on in your life, especially spiritual matters, spiritual issues that are affecting your relationship with God, not confessing those issues, both to God and to people that God have appointed to help you, can really cause great, great damage on your life. Yeah. Let us look at, there are just two scriptures we're going to look at under this point. And if we're able to finish in time, then we'll move to the next, the point that followed this one. Yeah. Open your Bible to Proverbs 28, verse 13. Yeah, we want to look into the scriptures. How you not confessing your sins and problems, how it is a very big, mistake and a very big issue. Yeah. So open your Bibles to Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. I read, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Can you see that? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that covereth his sins. Yeah, that E includes male and female. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but also confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy or find mercy. Yeah. somebody said, fame become more powerful in secrecy. Yeah, but when you expose fame, the power that the sin have over you becomes weak. Yeah, so the person saying the sin is more powerful when you keep it as a secret, when you are doing it secretly. Yeah, but when you expose it and confess it and seek for help, then the power that sin have over your soul will become weak, and then eventually will be broken. Yeah. So God hates people that cover up their sin, but He loves people that uncovers their sin. Yeah, because those people will receive mercy from Him. Yeah, so God wants us to confess our sins and forsake them. Confess your sins and forsake them. Yeah, not that you just confess. Like some people, they do confession alone. Yeah, like what they do in RCC, Roman Catholic Church. Yeah, so you see someone who would say, I need to go to Father. Now when they mean Father, they're not talking about Heavenly Father, they're talking about the Reverend Father. Yeah, so they'll say, I need to go and see the Reverend Father for confession. Yeah, and then they keep going to confess the same thing. Yeah, so maybe they go this Sunday, confess that they have been stealing and telling lies. Then the next time they go again, it's the same confession. Yeah, I'm not trying to approve the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, that is not a church. It's more like a cult. It's more like occultism. That is not a church. I believe you know that. Yeah, because they are not following the standard of the Bible. They are not following Jesus. They are following another God. Do they think they are following Jesus? But they are not. Yeah, they are serving Satan. Yeah, precisely, they are serving the Queen of Heaven, which is the same God as Baal in the Bible. I'm sure many of you have seen Baal in the Bible. Yeah, the God of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, is the same as Baal in the Bible. And it's also the same as Molech. Yeah, so that God has many names in the Bible. Yeah, so the Roman Catholic Church, they are not serving God. They are not serving Jesus. They are serving Satan. But I just decided to use that practice of confession in the church as an example, that it is not enough to confess your sins alone. You have to forsake your sin. Yeah, you have to forsake your sin. In fact, I think you confessing your sin means that you are done with those sins. Yeah, that is what I think, or that is what I believe. I believe what makes you confess your sins should be genuine repentance. So I believe genuine repentance should be what moves people to confess their sins. That is, they are confessing their sins because they have now repented and they are not going back into those sins anymore. So, but if you just confess your sins and then you go back to commit the same sins again, then you are just deceiving yourself. You're not ready for salvation. So, so we should make sure that we both confess and forsake our sins. I pray that the Lord will give you the grace to do this. In Jesus' name. So let us continue. Okay, let me talk about the mercy part. For those of you that just joined, we're talking on Proverbs 28. We're talking on Proverbs 28 verse 13, which says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So now I've talked on how we can separate confession from forsaking things. I mean, confessing things. We can't separate it from forsaking things. So they are together. So if you confess your sins, it means you are forsaking your sins at the same time. Whether you confessed the sins before God in your personal prayers, or you confessed it before a spiritual leader so that he can guide you and pray for you. You must do it because you are ready to forsake your sins. You are ready to turn away from your sins. So if you are not ready to turn away from your sins, then there's no point confessing your sins. It is just a waste of time. So now, I said I want to talk about the part that says shall have mercy. How this thing gives you mercy. How it gives mercy. This act of confession of our sins. Some people, they think they can deceive God. They think they can play games with God. They take God to be an human being. Now, this is where I'm going. This is what they think they can continue to sin and then keep praying that God show them mercy. So every time they say, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me." And yet they are still practicing the secret things. They are still committing sins secretly. Yeah, and then they come to prayer. I mean, they come to prayer meeting, and then they say, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Oh Lord, heal me by your mercy. Oh Lord, deliver me by your mercy. Oh Lord, save me by your mercy." Yeah, but then they have not confessed their sins, and they have not forsaken their sins, and then they are asking for mercy. They will never receive mercy. I'm not placing a curse on them. I'm just speaking the Bible as it is. Yeah, why do you think God will show you mercy when you refuse to turn away from your sin? Yeah, why do you think God will show you mercy when you have not confessed your sins and you have not forsaken your sins? Yeah, God will never show you mercy. Yeah, so mercy is not, let me put it this way. Getting mercy from heaven is not by begging. Yeah, it's not by begging for it. Yeah, you don't get mercy from God by begging for it. Now, you may beg for it, but begging for it will not bring it. Yeah, what will bring mercy from heaven is genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. So after you have genuinely repented, then you may beg for it. Yeah, because there's a kind of prayer that is called prayer of petition. So a petition is more like begging God. Yeah, but my point is that mercy cannot come just by begging for it. Yeah, it can't come by begging. Yeah, but you may include begging after you have genuinely repented of your sins. Yeah, then if you now pray or beg for mercy from God, then you will now receive mercy. But if you have not genuinely repented, forget about mercy. Yeah, you can't receive it. Yeah, you can't. Now, some of you may be thinking, what about people that are not, they are not genuinely born again? They have not genuinely repented, and yet God did miracles for them, or God did miracles on them, like some of them were healed by the power of God, some of them were transformed, some of them were delivered. Yeah, so you may be thinking, what about those people? Is that not mercy in action? Yeah, I want you to understand that God can, because of a righteous man, show an unrighteous person mercy. But the mercy will be temporary. Yeah, let me repeat myself again. God can, because of the righteous man, show an unrighteous person mercy. Yeah, so God is not doing it because of that person, but he's doing it because of the person that prayed for this unrighteous person. Are you getting it? Yeah, so that is why God can heal a sick person that is still a sinner, and in fact, that is still worshipping idols or serving Satan. God can heal that person, not because of that, you know, not because he is happy with the lifestyle of that person, but because of the person that prayed for him, the righteous person who prayed for him, or her. I believe you understand. Yeah. So the fact that God healed a sinner doesn't mean God is happy with the life of that sinner. In fact, it doesn't mean that God showed that sinner mercy. It's just that God honored the prayer of the righteous person who prayed, or who have been praying for that sinner. I hope you get my point. Yeah, so don't be deceived when you see God showing mercy on, you know, on sinners and unbelievers and idol worshippers. Yeah, don't be deceived to think that God is happy with them, or God have approved their evil works and evil ways. No. Yeah. Sometimes God does that because of the intercessions of people that you don't even know about. Yeah, because somebody in Cameroon can be interceding for people in Jamaica. Yeah, somebody in Cameroon may be interceding for some people in Jamaica. And then the intercession of that person can start to produce miracles in Jamaica. Yeah, and then some of the beneficiaries of the miracles could be drunkards, prostitutes, idol worshippers, and, you know, adulterers and all kinds of sinners. Yeah, and God is doing that because God is trying to, it's like investment. Yeah, God is giving them, is giving them blessings first, hoping, in hope that they will repent. So that is why I say such kind of mercy is always temporary. It doesn't last long. Yeah, because it's just like an investment. God is doing something, hoping that the people will respond correctly to what he's doing in their lives. He's giving them what they don't deserve, hoping that they will come to their senses and respond well to the love of God. Yeah. So if after God have given them a specified length or period of time, and yet they refused to repent, then God will withdraw that mercy from them. Yeah, so that is why some of them, when they got a problem again, they run to a man of God or church for prayer, and then they got the prayers, but nothing changed. Yeah, but the first time they went for prayer, the miracle happened instantly. Yeah, but they were still living in sin. So now the second time they went for prayers again, nothing happened. Yeah, the reason was because the first miracle that happened was an investment from God. God was hoping that they will repent. They will repent and turn away from their sins. Yeah, which they refused to repent. Yeah, so now they were coming again for another miracle, and God also refused to give them the miracle or the blessing. Yeah, so the requirement to get connected with God's mercy is to genuinely repent. Yeah, and this genuine repentance will be proven by your confession of your sins, and by you forsaking those sins. That is how you prove that indeed you have genuinely repented. I pray that you will be wise and you will do the right thing. I pray you will stop looking for mercy while you are still enjoying your sinful lifestyle. Yeah, because you will not get it. Yeah. So, let us continue. Now, we want to look at John. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Yeah, many of you are familiar with John chapter 3. Yeah, this chapter is one of the famous Bible chapters. One of the famous Bible chapters in the Christian community. Yeah. So what is Jesus saying in this place? Jesus said the condemnation that God already have brought upon the world and will bring upon the world is that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. That is the condemnation. Yeah, light came into the world and men, who are these men? People, you and I, human beings all over the world, men loved darkness rather than light. Yeah. That is the condemnation that the angels are pronouncing upon this generation and forthcoming generations. And not just the angels, even the Holy Spirit is pronouncing the same condemnation. And even Jesus is pronouncing the same condemnation upon this world. And not only that, God is pronouncing the same condemnation upon mankind, upon the generations of mankind. And what is this condemnation? It is that light came into the world, but people love darkness and they reject light. Are you not rejecting light in your thoughts, in your lifestyle, in your attitude, in your character, in your action? Are you not rejecting light? So those that hate darkness, they will not cover their sins. Those that hate darkness, they will not cover up their sins. Can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me. Okay. I think you should hear me now. So I was saying that those that cover up those that eat darkness, they will not cover up their sins. They will expose their sins. And whatever problem that is prevailing in their lives because of their sins. There are some problems that are connected to these things people commit. And those problems, sometimes those problems are sometimes consequences of the sins the people commit. So to be delivered from the consequences of sin is to confess that sin, to confess it, and to repent genuinely from that sin. So if you love the light, you will not be ashamed to speak about your sin. Because now you are looking for help. Many people have come to me and they have told me their sins. Not just because, they just want me to know about their sins. But because they want it to end. They want their sins to end. They don't want to continue to do it again. So those people, they love the light. So they don't want to continue in darkness anymore. So that was why they came to me and then they start to tell me their sins. And they start to seek for help. They were asking for what direction or guidance I can give them that will help them overcome the sin. Yeah, so that is a sign that these people love the light and they hate darkness. Yeah, so if you love the light, you will not cover up your sin. You will not. Yeah. Even in prayer, you will not cover your sin. Yeah, you will confess it. Yeah, I don't know why some Christians think, how should I even say it? I don't know why some Christians think that God can, I don't even know. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah. Let me use an illustration. Yeah, let's say, you have a brother. Then let's say you have an elder brother. And, you did something to your elder brother that was wrong, and your elder brother was offended by what you did. Yeah, and even you knew that this thing that I did was wrong, and you knew that what you did really hurt your elder brother. And then let's say that happened in a day. And then the following day, when you met with your elder brother, yeah, because your elder brother is a loving person and will not, even though you hurt him, but he will not seek to retaliate. Yeah. So let's say the following day, you met with the same elder brother that you offended in the previous day, and then you just smiled at him, and then you act as though you did nothing yesterday, and then you just smiled, or maybe you even went and hugged your elder brother, and then you acted as though nothing happened the previous day. Yeah, so that is how many Christians relate with God. Yeah, they've done something that offended God. So something that really that hurt God, because every sin hurts God's heart. And then the next time they would be appearing before God in prayer. Yeah, not even in a public prayer meeting. Yeah, but in their own personal prayer time, they just acted as though they didn't do anything against God. And then they just start and say, "Oh God, I just want to worship you. Oh God, I just want to praise you. You're such a good Father. You're such a wonderful Father. Oh, I thank you, Father. Oh, glory be to your name. Oh, hallelujah." And they just start with that. Yeah, but they did something maybe a few hours ago, or in the previous day. That's that was wrong. Yeah. And now they are coming into God's presence, acting as though they did nothing. That is very wrong. I don't know how a Christian would do that. If you can't do that, even with your earthly parent, why do you think you can do that with God? Because your earthly parents would demand that you apologize for what you did against them. Yeah, your earthly parents would demand that you settle the issue you had with them. Yeah, even before you can ask anything from them. Yeah, so if you can't try that nonsense with your earthly parent, why do you think you can try that with God, the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and the earth? What gives you that boldness that you can try that with God? So this is where I'm going. If you have wronged God, and then maybe you forgot to repent instantly or immediately, the next time you are appearing before God, the first thing to do is to settle the issue between you and God first. Yeah. Okay. I believe I'm making some sense here. What is expected of you to do the next time you are showing your face before God is to fix the issue between you and him, is to settle that issue. Yeah, because if you don't, you are going down gradually, and you are losing your salvation gradually. Yeah, and the reason why many Christians would not settle the issues they are having with God is because they want to continue in that sin. Yeah, they knew they are, any Christian that was really genuinely born again would know when they have offended God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. So when you did something wrong against God, the Holy Spirit that is in your heart will convict you immediately, together with your conscience. You'll be convicted in your heart. Yeah. So now, after the conviction, maybe you manifested pride or lust or hunger. After the conviction from the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to repent immediately. But now, let's say you forgot to repent at that time. The wise thing for you to do is that the next time you'll be appearing before God, that is the next time you will be praying, that the wise thing is to settle that issue and confess that sin. Yeah, in fact, you mention the sin and say, God, I remember at 12:15 p.m. this is what I did. I did this and that and that and that. And I'm sorry. And I'm not going to do it anymore. Please forgive me. And have mercy on me. And whatever I lost during that period, whatever spiritual virtue or gift or blessing that I lost during that period, please restore them. Yeah. Then God, who is a merciful Father, will forgive you and show you mercy. But then you just acted as if you never did anything wrong. Yeah. And then you just go ahead with your relationship with God. That is very, very wrong. Very, very wrong. And this is one of the reasons why some people are not growing spiritually. Because they have a lot of unresolved issues with God. Yeah, they have a lot of unresolved issues with God. And God is very angry with them. Very angry with them. They thought God had forgotten. How could the one who created your brain forget things? Yeah. I pray that you'll be wise in your relationship with God. In Jesus' name. So don't think you can play games with God. God sees your heart. He sees the depth of your heart. And he knows the depth of your heart. Yeah. So what can you hide from the one who sees everything? So the reason why we confess our sin is to show how sorry we are and how humble we are. Now that God does not know what you have done against him. Yeah, but it is a way of showing your transparency in your relationship with him. Yeah. It shows that you are transparent. Yeah. And it shows that you want to get better. You want to become better in your relationship with him. That's why you confess your sin. And you confess all the problems that your sins have brought upon your life. Yeah, so that he can show you mercy. I pray once again that you will be wise in your relationship with God in Jesus' name. So, verse 20, yeah, we read John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. So now I'm reading verse 20 once again. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. So a lot of people hate the light. Yeah, and sometimes when you confront them with their sins, they start to react in a defensive way instead of them to humble themselves and heed to correction. Some of them will start to say, why are you judging me? If some will even say, I am not like that. I am never like that. I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. So why do you think I can do that? Yeah, and the funny thing is, no one is saying they have done anything. Yeah. You know, but because they are feeling guilty, they are feeling guilty in their souls, now they start to defend themselves. Yeah, because most times what we preachers do is to, you know, because we preach by the Holy Spirit, so what we do sometimes is that we start to mention some things, and then we start to say, it is wrong for a Christian to do this, to do that. Yeah, as a Christian, you don't do this, you don't live like this, you don't speak like this. Yeah, and because we are doing it by the Holy Spirit, so maybe in the process, we mentioned some of the things those people already committed. Yeah, you know, because the Holy Spirit knows the secrets in their lives. So let's say while we were preaching or teaching, we began to mention some of the things the people have been committing, or whether secretly or publicly. So now the next thing they'll start to say is, why would you be judging me? Yeah, but we never accused them of the sin. We were just preaching that this is what the Bible says. You don't do this as a child of God. If you love God, you won't do this. Yeah. So we did not really say, you, this is what you are doing. Yeah. So, but because the Holy Spirit was convicting their hearts, because they were guilty of those things, so instead of them to humble themselves and repent, they start to defend themselves. They start to say, no, I'm not like that. I don't do that. But they do that. Yeah, I love God, but they don't love God. Yeah. I pray you will not defend your sin when the Holy Spirit reproves you. I pray you will not defend your sins or cover up your sin. I pray you will humble yourself and surrender to Jesus and repent. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so it is very deadly, very dangerous when you are defending your sin, especially when you know that you are guilty of those things, and yet you keep defending that. So you keep adding to the sin, because when you are defending your sin, it's a lie. It means you're adding lies, or you're adding lying to the things that are already on ground. Then you're saying, no, I did not do that. I am not like that. I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. Yeah, but you know you have done something wrong. And you know God is not happy with what you have done, and then you are still covering up your wrongdoing. No, if you have been doing that, you have to stop that, so that God can show you mercy. So Jesus said, those that hate the light are always their doers of evil. and they don't come to the light. Yeah, because they know that the light will expose their deed. Yeah, so they don't come to the light. Many people in this category, you will not find them in churches or ministries where the truth is being preached and taught as it is. Yeah, you won't see them there. Yeah, and if you, let's say, one of the people in this category is a friend of yours, if you keep on pointing out the things they are doing wrong that they should repent from, the next thing is they'll stop being your friend. They will distance themselves. Why? Because they are children of darkness, and they hate to come near the light. Yeah, they hate to be near to the light. Because the light will always expose their evil deeds. Yeah, I pray that you will like and love the light. Yeah, I pray you will not hide, you will not be hiding from the light. I pray that you will not love darkness. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to just read another place in the scripture before we round off. Yeah, don't forget we are talking on not confessing problems and sins. Yeah. When you refuse to confess problems in your life and things in your life. Yeah. Especially problems that are connecting to your sin. Yeah. So the problems in this topic are problems that are connected to things, which means these things brought the problem. Yeah, the thing brought the problems. Yeah, so it's just like someone went to do abortion. Yeah. Someone went to do abortion, and then after the abortion was done, a problem arose. So those are problems connected to sin. Yeah, so when you confess your sin, you should confess your problem as well. So let us look at a place in the book of James that told us to confess our sins one to another. Yeah, let us look at James 5:16. James chapter 5 verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Yeah, I know some people, they have trust issues. Yeah, there are some Christians that they don't want to really confess their sins and problems to another Christian because they don't trust that other Christian. Yeah, because they feel like that this other Christian or pastor can start to tell people about the problem or about whatever or whatever he or she told him or her. Well, it is good to be careful. Yeah, because not everybody in the church or not everybody that says they are Christians are actually Christians. Yeah, some are not even born again yet. And there were some, they are still baby Christians. They have not yet matured. So they may not be able to keep whatever secret of your life you told them. Yeah, but nevertheless, that doesn't mean that you should keep silent. Yeah, that doesn't mean you should keep silent about your sins and problems. Yeah, so you have to still confide in someone who is a matured Christian, matured believer. And most times, people choose their leaders, their spiritual leaders. Yeah, like pastor, they are pastors or prophets or apostles. Yeah, but if you feel that you should not tell certain people or ministers or leaders your personal issues, you don't have to tell them, but you still have to tell someone. Because the way God has set up the church is in such a way that we have to relate with one another. We have to trust one another. We have to believe one another. We have to love one another. We have to unite with one another. We have to pray for one another. So God have not established the church to promote separation and loneliness that some people will just decide to stay alone. No. Yeah. So God planted his church in such a way that we have to associate, we have to believe one another, we have to trust one another, and we have to pray for one another. So which means that if you keep silent or you keep quiet about your problems and your faults and your sins, you may never get healed. Yeah, because God have not put your healing in you. He have put it in another person. And you have to trust that person enough to open up to that person. You have to trust the person enough to confide in that person. Yeah, so that the person can pray for you and also guide you. Yeah, and then you will now be healed. Yeah. In fact, I've met some Christians that they want me to pray for them, and then they are not telling me everything that is going on in their lives. Yeah, they want me to, I don't know what they want me to do. Maybe they want me to kind of, I don't know what they want me to do. Or let me say, I don't know how they want me to know what they are not telling. Yeah, that would be divination. Why should I know? Why should I know your secret? Yeah, except God show me. So, and then can I force God to show me your secret? Of course not. Prophecy or prophesying is not according to the will of man. It's according to the will of God. So no one should prophesy if God is not speaking to them. If you prophesy when God is not speaking to you, you are now a false prophet. It is as easy as that. So it's so easy to become a false prophet. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe those Christians, they want me to force God to show me their secrets. Whereas you can just open your mouth and speak everything that is going on in your life. Then I can now pray. Because now I know what I'm praying for. Because now I have full understanding of what is going on in your life. Yeah, then I now know how to really pray for you. But then you're saying, Pastor, just pray for me. Pray for you about what? For what? Yeah, what is going on? Yeah, so I don't really understand Christians like that. Yeah, because the Bible says we should confess, to one another. Yeah, so why should you be hiding things? Yeah, things that you can just open your mouth and let the person that wants to pray for you, that wants to intercede for you, become aware of everything going on in your life. Yeah, so like as I was saying, you still have to confide in someone, even if there are many people that may violate your trust. Yeah, but you still have to trust someone. And even if someone what's the English? If someone have abused your trust before, you still have to let the Holy Spirit help you find someone else you can trust. So you can't just say because some people, they betrayed you before, they failed you, or they went ahead to expose your secret to other people, and then you now say, oh, I can never in my life confide in anyone. Now I can never in my life tell anyone my secret, whether they are pastors, whether they are Christians. Well, you may die untimely. Yeah, you may not live long. Yeah, because God wants us to unite as Christians. Yeah, and He has put our healing in others. Yeah, just as he has put the healing of others in you, so also he has put your healing in others. Yeah, so it is as we pray for one another, confess our faults, our problems to one another, that is how we will be healed. And that is how we'll become who God wants us to be. I pray that everything you have learned and everything you have been learning through these Bible study classes, I pray you will do them all. In Jesus' name. I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for the privilege to learn these things that we are learning at this time. Thank you for everything you have been doing in our hearts, in our souls, to ensure that we repent genuinely and that we obey your ways and your word. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you help everyone here to not and to never cover their sins, nor defend their sins. Oh Lord, help everyone here to learn to uncover their sins, to learn to expose their sins, confess their sins, and forsake their sins, so that you can show them mercy and forgive them in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you create in us an humble heart and a meek heart, and heart that loves to be corrected, and heart that hates darkness and love only the light. Father, create such hearts in us in the name of Jesus. I pray for as many that have heard this teaching and are already thinking about confessing their sins to you, Father. I pray that you help them to really confess all their sins and to also repent in the process. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen.